A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at AFL and Blues news and preview the game against the Giants. Special guest live interview today is injured Blue Michael Gibbons. We cross live to the Hive and David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But Craig, we couldn't do this show every week without our loyal sponsors.
No, we definitely can't. And we'd like to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, our platinum sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Thanks for that, Craig. Anytime. Morning, Mel and Jesse. How are we?
Morning. Big day.
Game day. Woohoo.
How'd we spend last weekend without the footy?
Relaxed. Right.
I was actually pretty calm. It was nice for a change.
An enjoyable break.
I actually went to the movies there.
Yeah, how was the movie?
Oh, it was romantic.
Did you see The Conjuring or, you know, a horror sort of film?
No,
not into
I can't even remember. I see.
50 Shades of Grey, I heard.
Shades of Carlton.
No, it was. Yes, that's what I went to see.
He's got the pills back.
I went to see the highlights of our first half of the year. It went for 20 seconds. No, it's all right. It's all good. Anyway, let's move on. Craig, let's jump straight into Blues news, injuries, updates, ins and outs.
Okay, yes, we can start with a massive big positive today with Carlton forward Harry McKay has committed his future to the Navy Blues by signing a new 2-year contract extension with the club. The deal come through, as he said, he wasn't going to speak to anyone else prior to bar Carlton, and he discussed it over the bye weekend, and true to his word, he's come out and gone, bang, 2 years.
What do you guys think of the 2-year term?
It's smart, no, it's smart by him.
Yeah, very smart.
He's just going to command more money.
Keeping options open.
He spoke pretty glowingly of he knows where the club's at, he knows where he's at and where the team's at,
Can you ask him to tell us so we know where they're at?
He's pretty confident that going forward that, you know, things will click, and he's come out and backed David Teague, which is a positive.
Yeah, it's a good show of faith.
So that was great news during the week. Also, some other news coming out. It's Carlton veteran Eddie Betts is set to reach another milestone to enter the top 20 for the most games played in VFL AFL history this weekend. So that's providing he runs out on the weekend, which we're 100% sure he's going to because he's named. So that's good.
Go, Eddie.
Look, it's back-to-back. Look, Eddie's just getting what do you call it? He's getting he's got his
spinning.
Come on, Craig.
I'm just trying to find the right word. Just with his milestones,
put
and then
your
glasses
on for a second.
I've got them on.
That's okay.
And then again with his nominations, I think it's his 27th goal of the year nomination or goal.
To all the hate knockers and that everyone said he's done, he's dusted. I think it's fabulous that he's just going stick it up, yeah.
Look, I think he's going that good that they should. I reckon I can see him going next year.
Yeah, I can too.
But I'm a bit of an Eddie Betts fan. Always have been. So another milestone this week is Paddy Dow playing his 50th senior game. So well done, Paddy.
Well done, Craig.
What's wrong with that?
Well, go on. The listeners wouldn't know what we were talking about just before the show when you asked the question. Has Paddy Dow played 50 games for Carlton?
No, it was just worded that 50 Carlton games. Yeah. It should have said 50 senior games.
Okay.
So I was just clarifying that. On the injury news, I'm going to resign from this show.
Please. We'll take that. We'll make note.
On some other good news. I'll sign that right now. I resign. I'm sick of you picking on me.
Get your words out, mate. Come on, Blues News.
It's Saturday morning. It's cold. The jaw's a bit loose, tight. So on the injury front, some great news coming through with Charlie Curnow being put through a mini pre-season over the next month. So the way that he's tracking, the way that he's looking, and everything else, he might play this year. I don't know if I would, though.
We've done this every week.
If he's ready, put him in.
Play him. We need him.
You've got to find out if he's going to survive it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So
he'll get a couple of runs in the VFL before he plays in the seniors, I'd imagine.
But
I don't know about that, Jess.
I think he has to play VFL.
Andrew Russell's come out and said, like, they've been really impressed with the way he's been trained and the need, and they've actually at some stages have had to pull him back a little bit.
It's good signs.
I suppose it would be a good thing to go forward next year just to see how good it's going to be with him back and Harry now peaking.
And we should get McGovern back as well, shouldn't we?
McGovern's not far away. That's coming up now. I can't give too much of my news away. Just wee back. Okay. Some other good news coming through too is obviously, as we know, with the concussion rules, that with the 12-day break, that Harry and Nick Newman both passed their tests, so they are right to go this week. Injury news, Mel.
Thank you. Finally.
David Cunningham, as we know, is out for the rest of the season with his knee. Charlie, as we just said, hopefully going through that thing, 12-month full pre-season, so hopefully he'll be ready to go soon. I'm going to give it to you when it's your turn.
Just get it out, Craig.
That's good, you're going fine.
Corey Durden, hamstring, available for selection after... I think he's playing in the twos this week. I see his name named in the two. Oh, I'm having a horrible day today. It's the way you two are looking at me.
Your research is fantastic.
Can we go to Murph quick? Get on to the important stuff. Come on.
Lachie Fogarty back. Mick Gibbons, hamstring still out. Caleb Marchbank, Austin McDonald, we don't know when he's going to be back. Mitch McGovern, they're saying 2 to 3 weeks. Harry, Nick Newman, as we know, back. Lachie Plowman, unavailable this week due to a knee soreness. So, and Sam Philip Groin out for the rest of the year.
And Murph.
The ins and outs, yes.
Ins and outs, all right. In is Parks.
Parks.
Yes.
Fogarty. Come on, mate. It's your segment.
Oh, my Lord. Murphy's out too, by the way.
Yeah, I know Murphy's out.
We give you one task. One task every week.
Matthew Kennedy.
That's it.
Yeah. Good on you, Jess.
I'm just so happy to see Parks back. Who are the outs?
Will Sederfield was injured. Mark Murphy dropped. And I can't remember the other one.
Nunes and Cottrell.
Thanks, Jesse.
Sederfield's a bit of a bugger because Sederfield, with his hand, like, he's just starting to build a couple of...
That was yesterday, wasn't it?
I'm not too sure. Wednesday training. He was just starting to build. He wasn't setting the world on fire, but he was just starting to build a block of a couple of good games together. So a bit disappointing he's out for the next few.
I'm sorry, listeners. I know this is a radio show and it's not a visual, but if you could see Craig, oh my God. Anyway, thank you, Craig. That was one of those. That was very informal.
Maybe I should just go out of the room and come back in again.
Give that a go. All right, thank you for that. And anyway, sorry, Murph. You wanted to say something about Murph, Mel.
Yeah, what does everyone think about Murph being omitted? It's been the talk of the town, and Teague's actually come out and made a big statement.
So long as he keeps doing it to everybody else.
Correct.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Well, Teague actually said, because everyone's questioning dropping Murph just before he's only got a couple of games before his 300 game, it's all up in question, da-da-da-da-da. But what do you guys think? Everyone says he's a champion, he should be played.
Murphy's been a great player for us and an absolute being loyal to us.
Yep.
But his form doesn't warrant just to get a game every week, especially when we've got kids that we need to come through.
And that's what TV has made the statement to say it's going to be across the board, and we're doing it. And I think that is fair. And we've talked about Murph's performance through the first half of the season, and it has been so up and down. So, you know, but they're actually playing him in the twos.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
It might be the kick in the pants he needs.
It's what I said last week about Ed Curnow, and, you know, someone, one of those older fellas going and actually helping out the younger boys in the twos. I think it's necessary.
Yep. Okay. Is that all you got, Craig?
Oh, everybody else keeps buttoning, but yeah, I'm done.
All right,
go home now.
All right. Now, we've tasked Jesse to preview tonight's game against the Giants. Over to you, mate.
Yeah, I hope without you got it good.
Oh, yeah, without the angry pills this time, though. Well, it's our third game in a row in Sydney or New South Wales. Could be our first win at Giants Stadium. I didn't realise we haven't won there yet in the decade that we've been playing the Giants. Last time we met them as well, last year, we went down by 9 points. We had...
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to injured Blue, Michael Gibbons. Good morning, Michael, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Thanks, boys. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, mate. Mate, Michael, before I let the panel ask you some questions, mate, could you let the listeners know how's the injured hamstring going and when we can expect you back playing?
Yeah, so it's coming along really well. I trained away from the group most of the week this week, but like basically we decided early on in the week that I wouldn't be playing just because I've never really done a soft tissue before, and they thought to go the precautionary route. Felt like I could have played, which is a little bit frustrating, but... anyway, it'll be good in the long run, and yeah, so I'll be back. I'll be back next week, which will be good. So back with the main group on Monday, and then yeah, good to go from there.
Yeah, good to hear, Craig.
Good morning, Michael. How are you going?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Listen, mate, you were overlooked in several drafts when you were younger. What was the feeling like when you found out Carlton were going to give you an opportunity at AFL level?
Yeah, it was a bizarre one. I sort of, as you said, I missed out on so many. It got a bit redundant there for a while. I sort of just got a bit over it. But going into that last year, I sort of put all my eggs into the basket, and I was like, I'll give it one more red or crack. And had a pretty good year in the BFL, and had a lot of interest from Adelaide and Fremantle, and then that obviously didn't come into work. And then so that was sort of it. I went back to work and sort of I'd sort of given up with it. So until obviously 2 weeks later. Unfortunately, Doc did his knee, and then that was the opportunity that gave me the ability to go and then train with the boys, which is, I guess there's a positive and every negative, I guess, in some ways. And Doc and I are good mates now, and we sort of have a bit of a laugh about it. But, that was sort of the feeling. So, as I say, it was a bizarre one, but it was one that, as soon as I got the opportunity, I was like, well, let's make the most of this one.
Yeah, that's good. Listen, mate, there's a big difference between the VFL standard to the AFL standard. How have you adapted to the differences between the two?
Yeah, the biggest one for me was probably the training. Obviously the same as the waffle and the sample. Most of the blokes were just, you know, workers, and I was just a carpet layer, so working all day and then going to training and. Bit of a boys' club, like a lads. So most of the lads are pretty look after each other and take training fairly easy, I guess, at some points. But as soon as I got to the Blues, mate, the step up in the intensity of training was the thing for me that was I'd something I hadn't seen before, and that was the thing I had to jump right into and adjust to pretty quickly, which I love now, and it's that's what makes the job fun, I guess.
That's good. Listen, mate, you made your debut in round one, 2019. Explain the feeling running onto the MCG in front of such a huge crowd, and especially against our arch rival Richmond. How was that feeling for you?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal, the whole thing. I don't really have too many memories of the whole night. I couldn't get a kick or anything like that personally, but from a team point of view, like I just said, running, like finally getting the realisation that I was going to play an AFL game, and as you say, I think there was 90,000 there, round one against the Tigers. Like that was pretty incredible. I remember getting shivers as I was walking out of the race, and just looking up in the stands. I got there pretty early and just watched the stands fill up, and it's a night I'll never forget. It was just a really surreal feeling for myself and my family.
Morning, Gibbo. It's Mel here. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Gimmy, you've kicked some ripping goals this year with your current tally sitting at 35. Do you have a favourite goal, and do any of them top the goal that you kicked in round 5, 2019?
Round 5, 2019. What was that one?
That was your first goal, yeah.
The first one. Okay. no, that was, yeah. Well, I think I was chasing Lewis Jetta's record there for a little bit in terms of the most behind kick before a goal. I think I was at about, I might have been at about 7 or 8, so I was a little way off. But yeah, I couldn't quite get one. So the relief of that one was actually pretty good, I'm not going to lie. So that's probably not a bad one. But I think my favourite one would actually have to be against Collingwood this year when I sold candy to Darcy Moore and then check-sided across the body. So that was a pretty nice one. And then I think it'd be one of those two, I reckon. As you say, that first one, I guess, yeah, is definitely a special one because obviously it took me so long to get it, and it took me around 5 to get.
And do you have any new celebrations up your sleeve for later in the year?
No, the boys have this conversation. Obviously, Warfar, Sammy Walsh, he sort of studied, like a lot of the boys are in their American sports, and Sammy Walsh will watch highlights of celebrations pre-game, and so he goes into a game knowing what he's going to do. Man, I'm pretty happy to just get a kick and then kick a goal. And I genuinely don't even know what I'm doing half the time, so I might look like a bit of a goose and carry on, but yeah, trust me, there's nothing planned when I do what I'm doing.
Hey, mate, can I just, sorry, Mel, to jump in while you just said that, just to carry on, mate. Look, most of the Blues supporters and followers would know that you yourself and Zach Fisher have just made a new podcast called
Gibberfish.
Gibberfish.
You had your first episode come out yesterday. Mate, tell us a bit about that, and how many more games of Paper, Rocks and Scissors are you going to play?
So that one come about not off either Might or Fisher's backs. The club just got onto us and said, if you wanted to, like, would you guys be interested in it? Obviously, Fish and I are really good mates and carry on a bit together. And so, I don't know, they come to us and said, do you want to do it? And we're a bit hesitant, but we had a good laugh the other day. I don't know if you guys have listened to it. I haven't listened to it yet, but it was good fun in there. And, it was actually really enjoyable. And I think we'll get a bit better at it going forward. And there was a few edits and a few cuts that we had to make throughout the whole time because we sort of get a bit carried away. But, it was really fun. And, the Paper, Scissors, Rock thing goes a bit further. Like, we play that on almost everything. So anytime you go to a restaurant or to get a coffee, it's who loser pays. So we play that in almost every aspect of our life. So it's actually, that'll continue on the show if we keep getting episodes.
Fair enough, mate.
Gibbo, we're hearing so much talk in the media at the moment with the review happening, but we're also hearing that the vibe is still really upbeat within the playing group. Surely with this week, with the re-signing of Harry for the next 2 years, is everyone up and about?
Yeah, it's quite bizarre. I shouldn't say bizarre, but like the best thing about Cripa and Doc as captains and as leaders is that their ability to just shut out all the white noise. And Cripper speaks on it a lot. He just says, like at the club, all the boys are a good bunch of boys and everyone's very good mates. And we're a very tight group and a very close group. And the thing that Cripper and Doc always pump up and always say that is as soon as you start to fracture inside and start to allow any of this white noise to come in, then that's when the club will be, obviously no good and whatever. So the boys, we have a lot of fun. We work so hard together, and the ability to stick together has been probably our best trait. Obviously, we haven't played the best, like, our footy that we want to this year. And then obviously with this internal review coming out, external review coming out from the new pres, Lukey Sayers, look, that's all up to the footy department. And like, but as players, all we can control is our energy and everything that we put into our training and then into games. So, the place has still been so upbeat and so fun, and it's such an enjoyable workplace. And I guess without being able to show you guys or say, like, you know, without showing you or anything, that's all I can speak on. That it really is such an upbeat place and still an enjoyable place. And it's just the fact that boys have so much belief in one another, and we're also a bit obviously it's frustrated, and I guess the fans are too, is that we aren't playing the way we want to be playing and the way we know we can. So, the boys had a super week on the track this week. We changed up a few things in training, the way we were training, train a bit quicker and a bit snappier, and hopefully that comes out in the games this week.
This is your third year at the club. You've played alongside some absolute legends. Who would you say has been your biggest role model, inspiration or mentor?
Good question. I think last year for me, going into the hub, I've had a girlfriend. My girlfriend and I have been together for about 5 or 6 years, and we bought a little puppy last year, so she couldn't actually come up to the hub because we're both from regional New South Wales. And so going to the hub, there was probably about 6 or 7 of us boys that the girlfriends didn't come up. So that was about myself, Zachy Fisher, Jackie Martin, Kate Simpson and Eddie Betts. And so we had a really good crew there, like through the whole hub. And the thing I would look back on and say, you know, ask about role models, like Eddie Betts and Cade Simpson are both absolute icons of the game. And to be able to spend that time with them and really get to know them as people and as players was probably the biggest thing I took out of last year. And even to this year, like Eddie Betts is, mate, he's probably one of the best humans you'll ever meet. And the way he can keep a level head about, obviously, everything, you know, that is always being said about him and all the accolades he continues to get. That's something I take away from him. And like, obviously you're not going to replicate anything that he does on the ground, on the game, because that's just Eddie. But the way he goes about it, he trains so hard, and it's not a fluke that he's a superstar of the game, put it that way.
And I heard you guys are pretty big on your card games.
Yeah, we are pretty big on our card games. As I said, we're in the hub last year and there wasn't a whole lot to do, so the boys play a little bit of cards, and not poker or anything like that. We play a little presidents and assholes. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
I know assholes. Yep.
Yeah.
these other guys sitting here, they've got no idea what they're talking about. But they're a different generation, yeah. Gibbo. So.
Yeah. Well, I only got taught it about as soon as I got to the Blues. So if you could teach the boys there, it's a very fun game, and that's the one we play.
Morning, Gibbo. How's it going?
How's it going?
Good boys.
Yeah, you predominantly played your junior and VFL career as a midfielder. How's it been adapting your game to combining your time also through the middle and in the forward line? Like, you just talked about Eddie Betts. Could you maybe give us a little bit more insight on how he's helped develop your craft?
Yeah, so obviously, like as you said, like I spent a lot of time, I spent all my time as a junior as a mid, and then all my time as a VFL player as a mid. So to come in and then sort of start to have to play this small forward role, I had to really change my mindset around the game, and which probably took me a little bit longer than I expected, because it is a very tough role. I think my first year I probably struggled with it, but like the last 2 years I've really relished it and really started to play some good footy in it. And I think that goes down to a little bit of TE allowing me to get up the ground a bit and get involved a bit more, and then still play that small forward role, which is plays to my strengths. But then also, as like, you know, you got Eddie Betts down there and Zachy Fisher as well, as I spoke about, like, you know, we've really invested in our craft down there, and the ability to the ability to just read the ball off the hands and stuff like that. That's the little cues that Eddie's been able to teach us has been invaluable so far.
Yeah, absolutely. We've only had one premiership player and 100 game player to wear the number 40 jumper. Without looking too far ahead, what would it mean to you if you could achieve both those at your time with the Blues?
Oh, no doubt. I just say, Michael Jamieson obviously is the only 100 game player in the number 40. He's named up on the locker. So I've met Jamieson a few times. He's a really good fellow. And we sort of have a little bit back and forth that, you know, we have some back and forth, sorry, about, being the second bloke to ever get my name up on the number 40 locker. So that's a little goal of mine. And didn't have this injury over the last couple of weeks, I think I would have been playing my 50th game either this week or next. So that puts it up back a little bit. It's a little bit disappointing, but trust me, like that's definitely like a little goal of mine, to get the 100 games, get the name on the locker, and then to be just only the second player to play in a premiership in the 40 would be something that I'd hold very dearly. That's obviously what we're striving for.
Yeah, and we picked up a couple of guys in the mid-season draft. Have you had any chance to connect with them, and have you been able to share like your journey or give them any advice?
Yeah, well, I haven't really been able to connect with Alex because he's about 7 foot taller than me. So I haven't really been able to see him. So now Alex has been around the club a little bit, played a little bit of VFL earlier in the year, and he trained with us a couple of times. And he's really raw, but he's really invested. I reckon he's going to be an absolute star if you give him a few years. And young Geordie's a Spotswood boy over here in the west of Melbourne, which is where I'm living. So I sat down with him the other day and had a coffee, and Obviously, he just said that he'd followed my journey through the VFL and sort of had a similar one, obviously not as long as mine. And, but yeah, we just had a chat, and I just basically just said to him, like, mate, the best thing you can do, and the first thing I did when I got here was just to make sure I put my head down and bum up and work hard, and because basically what got me there was my ability to work harder than most. And I said to him, like, obviously you've got some tricks and everything, but mate, just put your head down, give it a red hot crack, and if you can go home at the end of every day feeling as though you've put everything in, then you'll be happy with yourself, and whatever comes of that will come.
Good to hear, mate. Mate Michael, yourself and I have a mutual friend from the old Williamstown Footy Club, and when we knew that we were going to get you on for an interview, I reached out to him to try to... he gave me two things to ask you, but one I can't ask you on the radio. That's something to do with Craig Byron, but I won't mention that one. The second one, what he said was, like, mate, you were doing some tackling drills with the then coach Andy Collins at Williamstown. Mate, how did that turn out?
Hey, so who's your contact here over at the Gulls?
Mate, he's... only the legend down at Williamstown, the old Mocker Thurston.
Big Mocker. He's an absolute legend, yeah. it's a bit of a long story, but, yeah, we are big Andy Collins, obviously. He was a superstar through the 80s with Hawthorn, multiple premiership player, and a bit of a rough and tough player, as most everyone would know. But, yeah, I had 5 years with him at Willie, and we got along really well, but he pushed my buttons a bit, and I pushed his, and... Yeah, as I said, we used to work long hours and then come into training, and then there was this one session where we were doing a tackling drill, and me and the coach might have got tangled up and thrown a couple punches at one another and wrestled on the ground. Might have wrestled on the ground there for a good couple of minutes and had to be pulled apart. So it was a bit bizarre, and to Collar's credit, he's a bit of a nutter, and but he's got some weird theories, but. I went out that weekend and actually played my best game of VFL I reckon I've ever played. So he still takes credit for that, punching me in the face and then making me go out and play my best ever game.
Mate, excellent. Well, anyway, Michael, mate, we better wrap it up there. Mate, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for sharing some of your precious time with us today. Good luck with the injury, and hope to see you back on the field very soon. As you said, hopefully it's next weekend. And as we always end up on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, Gibbo.
Cheers. Bye.
Michael Gibbo,
everyone? He actually spoke really well, didn't he? Yeah. He spoke really well.
Good bloke. Mate, I had plenty to say, but I can't. I couldn't. What I was told that I could say about Williamstown, it wouldn't go down too well on the radio. But anyway, time once again to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we reach out to our great mate who comes on this show every week, who gives up his precious time. I talk about the David, the hyphen Reece Jones. Go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues. If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768. ACL 441658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues. I talk none other. I'm the great man, David Rhys-Jones. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Well, we've sort of had a lockdown over here, so it's we've got a bit more freedom than what we had last week. But anyway, it is what it is. But the good thing is we're not coming off a loss from last week.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
It's good to have a weekend with without too much frustration. But it's on tonight, and we haven't got a bad record against GWS, so I'm expecting us to perform pretty well.
Before we get stuck into that, Hive, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, mate.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Oh, yeah, 59. I've got the big 6-0 next year. I get the seniors card and buy cheap meals at the local pub, I suppose.
So don't worry.
I'm looking forward to, isn't it, all that mushy stuff. That,
you can go and join Brownie at the RSL, mate.
Come on, mate. Only good people were born in 1962. Isn't that right, David?
That's it. Yeah. You were the title, it was too.
Yes.
And Hive, still no chance to get down to Sydney as yet?
I think we can now, but just circumstances haven't allowed me to get up there at the moment. And next weekend, my wife's gone away, so I'll be home with the young bloke. So, anyway, I'm just trying to get the calendar right so I can get up there and see a new grandchild thing. Looking forward to that.
Before we get into our game, Hive, I just wanted to touch on what's been going on with the tribunal this week and with David McKay and the bump and that the whole talk that they could change the game and the AFL are going to look into it even further. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Well, my thoughts were, if that had rubbed him out, I wouldn't have gone to another game this year. I would have with my feet, I suppose. And if it's a contact sport and injuries are going to happen, you need to accept that, that they can put as many rules in place. But look, if you want to make it a non-contact sport and then no one's going to get hurt, then, just put a basketball ring up at each end and play a game of basketball, because that's what will end up becoming. It's foreign enough from the game we played back in the 80s, 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's foreign enough to play now from what that was, but I think they're just too carried away at the moment, and an accident will happen. Even accidents get knocked out in basketball too, believe it or not. So even in non-contact sports, accidents happen and people can get injured. That's part and parcel of the competitive sport.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. Look, but our problem is that guy down there, S. Hocking, shocking, he's already gearing this up, that they're going to change the rule next year. Mm-hmm. And so he's already said that if it happens again this weekend, he'll take it to the tribunal again. So we've got to somehow get that guy out so we can just let the game keep going on the way it is.
I can't see, either, I don't know of any sport where your intention is not to be going 100%. And that is the real problem. I mean, if we're going to have people, we're going to have collisions in our game, and that's part of our game. There's a lot of courage needed to play our game. And, I was always taught the harder you go, the luckier you're going to get. And if you take that short one, you're the one who's going to get hurt. So, I don't know. I just think there's a lot going on about the conversation around head knocks. I know that over in the US football, they paid billions of dollars, in compensation. So maybe they're worried about compensation claims and different things coming up. But they just need to stand firm and make sure our game isn't diminished to the fact that people won't go.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
I agree too. Just moving forward to this week's game, what do you think of the team changes with the ins and outs?
Well, very happy to see number 26 back in there.
So are we.
He's a true defender. You know, they tried Bruno at the last game we played, and I just couldn't understand why Parksy wasn't in. He's a defender. He defends hard. He's got a little bit of an edge on him. He goes hard at it. So, good to see him back. Fogarty's been a bit of a surprise. I don't think many people knew too much about him before this season, but he's a tackling machine. He puts a lot of pressure on down that forward line, so, and that's where we do lack a bit too. And Matty Kennedy back in, he's one of those players who goes in and out of the team consistently year in, year out, so looks like we can get a bit of crack at it as well. And Paddy Dow playing his 50th game, I think, obviously would have liked a lot more out of him up to this stage, but hopefully, in that 50-60-70 game mark, he start to feel more part of it, and hopefully he can show the potential that he shows his young going through.
Hi, do you think, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, who do you think is going to get the job on Green?
Better not be Stocker.
Yeah, it's interesting. It can be because of, you've really got to look at you want to have a defender on him when he's playing forward, and then a midfielder. I'd like to see Eguno on him in the midfield when he's in there. But then I just didn't think that you need someone, and it could be a part.
That's what we thought earlier too.
Yeah, so in the challenge of just say, look, and the other thing is, a better player should play. I mean, the more you learn, or you should do anyway. We've all copped it over the years off of, very talented footballers, but you learn playing against the best. So I'd give Parks a chance as he goes, when he's in the forward line. I think that'd be a good matchup. And he's got a little bit of a hard edge to him, Parksy, too. So he might upset. He's the captain there.
Phil Davis, he's back in. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been in terrific form, Green, and he's one who will have to stop the pick. He really got him back into the game last game they played, and just, from the start of that last quarter, he just wanted to impose himself on the contest. That's what champions do.
Yeah, correct.
Hi, Fed. It was a good show of faith during the week with Harry Big H signing on for an extra couple of years. What do you think that'll do for the group today? And also, how do you think he'll match up against Phil Davis? Obviously, Phil Davis has been out for 6 or 7 weeks. Do you think Harry could get the better of him?
Oh, Harry's got the better of everyone so far. Yeah. He's been a real bonus for us this year. What's been a disappointing and frustrating year, I suppose. But I just keep saying this, we're not that far off it. I think a lot of it's above the shoulders. We're a three-quarter team at the moment, 75% team. Harry's going to, just with his height, his athleticism, he's really been a standout this year. I mean, and Walshy and I think Weeders back has been terrific too. So they've been the three real standouts for the club this year.
Hi, I'm just going to touch on it, and I know we've spoken about it a couple of times already this year, but thoughts on Murphy being admitted again this week?
Yeah, well, his performances haven't been up to standard, and I think I said a few weeks ago, I'm getting to a stage now where I don't want to see Murphy in the team. I don't want to see Casbolt in the team. I'm sort of not wanting to see Ed Kuno in the team. I don't really want to see Eddie Betts in the team. I think we've got to look to the future and play the guys who are going to be part of the future. Who's going to be in our next premiership team? I think that's the way they should looking at things and get some games and some continuity, but also getting them to play and with each other. You know, it's a matter of getting in there and knowing each other's game inside out. And the only way you can do that, you can train as much as you want, but when the pressure comes on in a game sense, that's when you really, you know, got to play 30-odd games with guys before you really know everything about them and where they're going to turn and what they're going to do and their instincts and how they go about things. And that's what makes great teams.
Yeah, from afar, it just looks like they haven't got the trust between each and every player. Like, they don't trust where they're going to run to. It doesn't look like they trust with delivering the ball to certain type of players. How long or what does it take to kind of build that trust amongst that side and know that, you know, your mate next to you is going to do what's required by the team?
Yeah, well, and that's where we fall down. We seem to be able to stay in games and play good footy in patches and be competitive with, you know, with some of the better teams. And then we go back into our shells and the real pressure comes on is when I suppose they become a bit selfish and go back into their shell and worry about themselves instead of taking the game on, you know, getting that next goal, driving forward so we can succeed. And a lot of that comes from our leadership. You know, I really feel that we haven't got enough on-field leaders. I'd like to see Paddy Cripps strengthen someone and, you know, really getting up to them and getting them to fire up in some way, shape or form. You know, just, you know, you can be critical of each other out on a football field and you just got to be able to accept that and take it on board and do something about it. So that's, you know, I think, you know, the issues we really have at the moment, that's why we're falling away, because when things do get tough, we seem to go back into our shells and worry about ourselves instead of going across and helping our teammates here.
One good thing about tonight, especially with GWS's selection, is that they haven't got Mumford. So hopefully, you know, big bullocking body in the middle, that hopefully that gives us a bit of an upside and to win a few more centre clearances.
He's a bit of a bully, Mumford. Yeah. I don't mind, to be honest. When he tackles, and Mankervis is a bit the same for Richmond. I mean, when they tackle guys, they drive them, they drive it in and make sure that they're, they know they've been tackled, sort of thing. And I don't mind that. It's good to see him out and you know, to Conning. I think the week's break's going to help him a bit. He's had a couple of games and a week's break. He should be fresh and hopefully we can dominate in that area, because that's, you know, that midfield's really going to be the key. We've got to get that ball out of the midfield, get it into our forward line quick. Obviously, the way it's set up now, you can get 6-on-6, and if you win those clearances in the middle, and as we've been talking about with Harry McKay, if you can get it in high and long to him, then he's very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, I just think with Harry that he'll be, I think, especially on Davis coming back, I think he'd be too big, too strong, and hopefully too agile. So hopefully he can kick 6-10 goals. We'll be laughing.
Made the forecast.
Yeah, well, once again, and a lot of that comes down to the delivery into our forward line too.
Correct.
It's just bombed in there. It makes it very easy for the opposition to double team too. So we need to be smart bringing the ball in. And hopefully Harry can have a day out.
Hope so.
Yeah, mate, the forecast is up for Sydney. I think it's wet. It's rain and 14 degrees.
Typical Sydney.
Come on, mate. So let's just hope that the boys are switched on and they're first at the ball in the wet weather conditions. But anyway, mate, we better wrap it up. As always, thank you very much for giving up your time and sharing your thoughts on the Baggers with us. And as always on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Yeah, hopefully a good win tonight. That'll make everyone happy.
Hope so.
Take care, Dave.
See you, Dave.
Always
like listening to Dave.
Oh, look, I do too. He says it how it is.
Yes. Anyway, let's just hope. As I said, look, I just did check the forecast. It's supposed to be wet. wet and cold up in Sydney today and tonight, so let's see how we get on.
I actually think I think we should get Hype involved in this external review. And
ooh, I don't think they'd like that too much.
I don't think they'd like it very much.
Anyway, we've got a few minutes. I just want to say that we've got a function on tonight at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Of course, we're playing the Giants. Bounce Down's 5:25, so, and it's on the big screen in the front beer garden. So get there a bit earlier so you can join in with the rest of us rat bags over there and Carlton One Eye supporters. And again, as always, free
hopefully
members.
Celebrating.
Sorry, Mel.
I said celebrating, but hopefully celebrating.
You just better take it easy, Mel.
Free members raffle for those members who show their 2021 membership card. I believe that there's going to be, the raffle's going to be a massive hamper full of wine, chocolates, Carlisle Hotel Distillery gin, Carlton products, et cetera, et cetera. Also, too, we're going to, hopefully, we'll have the tickets ready tonight, we're going to launch our end-of-season raffle, which is a beauty. Like, first prize is two tickets to the John Nicholls Medal in Melbourne, again, donated by us, the WA Blues. Again, we're not sure when that's on, but it's normally after the season in October sometime. Includes two return airfares donated by Hyundai WA and Allmark and Associates, two nights accommodation in Docklands donated by our good mate Fab at Accent Accommodation in Docklands.
Fab,
yes, mate. Second prize is a team signed jumper, custom framed, of course, by Master Picture Framers with AFLPA Certificate of Authenticity. Runner-up prize is a $200 voucher from the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery and a $100 WA Blues gift pack. So hopefully we launch that tonight. I hope. And the other big function we've got coming up is in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, we're getting excited, guys.
It's against the Dockers over here at Optus Stadium. Ooh. Now, we don't know what day,
it's
what
meant
time.
To be over here.
Oh, it'll
be here.
I'm sure it'll definitely be here, but the AFL hasn't released the fixtures for that round yet. So we don't know. It'll either be, I would presume it's either going to be a Saturday night or it's going to be a Sunday
arvo.
So whatever it is, we'll get everything up. But we've booked the hall in the Camfield, which is the room we always have at the function prior to any game at Optus. Come along. It'll be a gold coin donation. We'll have plenty of people there. Hopefully the club will give us a guest speaker. There'll, of course, be raffles. There'll be auctions. There'll be two great auction prizes, and I won't give it all away just yet. And there's also, too, there'll be some great raffle prizes.
Mm.
And again, the club normally give us a guest speaker because, of course, they'll be at Optus Stadium, so they only have to walk across to the Camfield. Yes, Craig?
I hope this all happens with COVID.
Yeah, I think it will.
Hang on. Has Craig just finally woken up?
Think so. Where have you been all day, mate? Fair dinkum.
It was a good game last year against Carlton Fremantle.
It's a good game the last two years in a row.
Yes,
mate.
It has been.
I would expect it'll be another very good game because for some reason we just match up so well together.
And Fremantle play a lot better over here too.
They do.
Maybe it's just time to bring Jack Nunes back in.
Emergency sub.
Got a good track record, and Murph. Bring them both
just
in.
For that game.
Just, they've got a good track record. Yeah. It's probably going to be raining over here as well.
Don't play Charlie.
Yeah, don't.
That's
play
where Charlie first hurt his knee.
But anyway, yes. Look, if you can get along tonight at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery, we'll all be there. As I said, Bounce Down's 5:25 on the big screen. Good raffle prizes. Show your 2021 membership card. You're going to the free raffle for members. Get down there. I'm sure we'll be there around about 4:30. So we
roast rolls.
Well, mate. Hopefully we got the spit roast. Hopefully we got the pizzas.
I'd say so. It's pretty fine out there.
$7 pints, mate. $7 pints. And for Mel, $35 jugs of cocktails. But anyway.
Which you're not allowed to have, Mel.
Anyway. Anyway, thanks for another great show, guys. And as always, thanks to our great mate David Rees-Jones and special guest Michael Gibbons, who I thought was fantastic.
It was great.
So keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous.